Okay, Chevron, it's very special to be back together, to learn together, especially on a night when there's Gishmei Bracha outside, to still trudge through the rain to come learn Torah, Yitzchar Halicha, and something very, very special. It gives me chizik to be learning together late at night, and specifically on a night when it's raining. Just a little hakdama tonight of something I was thinking about over the last few days, starting on Shabbos Kodesh. This past Shabbos, in Parshas Veschanon, we read a pasuk, Vasisa Hayosher Vatov. Vasisa Hayosher Vatov B'nei Hashem. You should do Hayosher Vatov, what's straight and what's good in the eyes of Hashem. And I was thinking about that pasuk and thinking there must be a connection between that pasuk and what we've been learning together. Mesilas Yesharim, right? Mesilas Yesharim, which we translate often as path of the just. A mesila is a pathway. But Yesharim more so is translated generally as a straight path, right? Mesilas Yesharim, which is an understanding. Obviously, the Ramchal chose that name. It's an understanding of how to journey through life on a straight path, in a proper path, in all that we do. What's the connection between that and Vasisa Hayashar Vatov, which is Hayashar is Yesharim? So the very famous Ramban, in this past week's parasha, there's a very famous Ramban on those words, Vasisa Hayashar Vatov. Vasisa Hayashar Vatov Beinei Hashem. What are those words teaching us about Torah and mitzvos? Is it just a nice idea, do what's right and straight? What does it mean, do what's right and straight? We do the mitzvos. God gave us 630 mitzvos. He gave us that 248 mitzvos that are positive we're supposed to do, 365 negative commandments of things we're supposed to try to stay away from. So we know what to do. What do you mean by Sisa Asher Vatov? What does that mean? What is that word Yashar? And we're learning the Mesilas Yesharim. What does it teach us? What does it mean to do straight? You do the mitzvos. That's what's straight. This is a very famous Ramban. And the Ramban basically tells us, and it's a big lesson in life, and I think it will put in perspective all that we're learning together. And the Ramban tells us that it's basically, I don't want to say impossible, because nothing's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Torah, with all its commandments and all its guidelines of life, it doesn't choreograph for us every moment of our life. Meaning what? Yes, it tells us what we should do and shouldn't do. But how much of our day is gray area? Meaning, yes, we're supposed to daven every day, and we're supposed to dress in a particular way, and we're supposed to say brachos before we eat, and we're supposed to try to learn Torah as much as we can. But let's really stop and think about it for a moment. If you take your day, and you know a normal person is up, let's say, 14 hours in the day, of those 14 hours, how much of that day is taken, that time is taken by the positive and not, negative mitzvahs? Obviously, it's not taking any time because that's just passive, right? That's just not doing. How much time is really taken by our positive mitzvahs? If you add up, let's say we daven, young women, you probably only daven most of your shachrus and mincha. So you add up, even if you daven a shachrus with tremendous kavan, how long could it be? How long could it be? Let's say an hour. Okay, you're thinking, when was the last time I actually davened an hour? But let's say someone davened an hour shachris, and let's say someone davened a 15-minute mincha. Hour, 15 minutes. You said every bracha, you said, and you say your bracha is not like people say them, like you know, you say a real bracha, but how long does each bracha take, even if you have kavana? 20 seconds? Try to say a 20-second bracha. It's very hard to say a 20-second bracha, right? And you make brachas every time you eat. How many times a day are we eating? You know, we're trying not to eat too much, whatever it might be, but that adds up to another 5 minutes of our day of brachos. What else during the day? So we do acts of chesed, but add it up all together. What do we have? 2 hours of our day? 2.5 hours a day? What about the rest of the day? Oh, I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm having a good time. I'm in camp. I'm watching my campers. During the year, I'm in school. I'm taking classes. I'm spending time with my family. Not that I'm doing necessarily anything wrong. Again, I'm keeping the Torah, but there's so much gray area in life. Right? There's so much gray area in life. What about all that gray area in life? You know, it's straight. Torah does it tell us anything about the gray area of life? So comes the Ramban, and the Ramban said, that's the pasuk Vasisa Yashratov. What does it mean? Hashem wants us to try our best. Yes, He gives us guidelines of Torah and mitzvahs, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live a straight path, and al pi ratzon Hashem, all day long in all that we do. And yes, there are areas that are white that are clear we're supposed to do. And there are areas that are black that are clear we're not supposed to do. And then the gray area we're supposed to be able to understand based on the morals and ethics of Torah and mitzvot and what we've been taught and how we've learned and how we're living a ruchnistic, Torahdic life. Like we mentioned last night, those of us that were by the bonfire. And in everything that we do, learn how to a little bit elevate it, the Kedusha of Tara, in a way that Hashem would be making him proud and bringing him Nachas Ruach. And that's Vasisha Yashar Tov. To Lefi Torah, act in all that I do, every moment. Every moment I'm a Bas Torah. There's no moment that I'm not connected to Hashem. In all that I'm doing. Because I do it in a way, the Kedusha of Tara. In the way that I speak, in the way that I act. That's Vasisa Yashar Tov. And that's a life of Mesilas Yesharim as well. You know, we've been learning and studying, and we're going to continue tonight to learn and understand the purpose of man in this world. And we've been discussing building that deep relationship with Hashem and Dveikus LaHashem, clinging to Hashem, and how to. But ultimately, the purpose is once you build that deep relationship with Hashem and are one with Hashem, then in everything that I do, we're going to feel that and sense that. That's yashrus. That's living a straight life. It's not that sometimes I'm doing what Hashem would be proud of and sometimes not. It's in all that I do. And that's the Mesil Shasharim. That's Vasiso Yashar Tov. So may Hashem, we should all be Zocha, to be elevated from all of our learning and to follow in that path, the path of the Mesil Shasharim, the path of the Vasiso Yashar Tov from this past week's parsha. So with that introduction, we're ready to continue to learn. Here we have those on the sheets. We have more sheets over there for if anyone doesn't have. We're up to, on your sheets that you have in front of you, we're up to Ois Yud Aleph. It's about in the middle of the sheet, Ois Yud Aleph. The Ramchal continues. Last time, if you remember, we were talking about and learning about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in the world with so much that's marchik us, that distances us from Hashem, that can. And full of taiva, full of temptations towards gashmis, towards physicality. So we're going to continue it and see where he goes tonight. So the Ramchal continues, Ve'im tamik od be'inyan tireh. If we delve deeper into this idea of getting close to Hashem, building a relationship with Hashem, we'll see something very beautiful, especially based on the Akdama that we learned together tonight. Ki ha'olam nivra l'shima sh'adam. The entire world was created to serve man. Everything in this world is for us. Bishvili Nivroil. We were the final creation. We were created on the sixth day of creation, as we all know, right? After everything else. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring us into the world that was already perfected for us in a certain sense. And teaches that we're the epitome of creation. We're the crowning jewel of creation. But everything else that was created prior, Achron Achron Chaviv, everything else is all for us. It's all for us. Everything else is for us to utilize. But in what way? Let's see what he says. Amnam, but in truth, hinehu omed b'shikol gadol. We're all standing in great balance. Kim adam nimshach achar olam umisrachik. Now we're going to use it. So based on what he already said, we're going to all utilize this world. We're going to be involved with this world. All the food we have comes from this world. Everything, all the clothing we wear comes from this world. We need to interact and have a relationship with this world. And he just said, it's all there for us. However, now once we understand the whole world is for us, now there's a great balance. And what is that? Kim adam nimshach achar olam umisrachik meboro. But if we only utilize this world, then we're literally pulled after the world. And we become materialistic individuals, where our whole purpose of life is to connect to the physicalities of this world and the excitement of this world. So then what? You know, who miskalkel? We will be ruined. We will be destroyed. And as well, makalkel olam imo. We will destroy the world as well. Because ultimately, what are we doing? If we become very physical individuals, that's our focus. Even though it's all there for us, but I get pulled into that being my purpose in life. My purpose in life ultimately is to drive a nice car and to chveis nish, wear wear only, you know, Prada and Chanel and whatever does it for you. And, you know, there are people very sick, and that's their whole life. And by the way, there's nothing wrong. Maybe some of you are wearing, I doubt it, in camp. But Lamaisa, you know, nothing wrong, as we'll learn, of connecting to this world, but utilizing for a much greater cause. Not that that's your ends. Not that that's what it's all about. Then it pulls you in, and what are you? You're a physical being. That's all you are. And you've destroyed your whole purpose of life, but you've also destroyed the entire world. Makalkal, as he says, Ha'olam Imo, because you've destroyed its purpose as well. Right? If I, there's an article of clothing in the world, and that article of clothing was created for me to wear, to be a tanua, to be modest, and to cover me so that I could walk around in a modest way, and to be able to also, again, it's important that we all look nice and have a high self-esteem and feel that we're comfortable with who we are, and it's there to help me elevate ultimately my vote decision. I'm great. But if I then go and then I'm using it in a proper way and I'm elevating, that entity also has a purpose in this world. But if I go and I wear it only to be a balas gaiva, and I want people to look at me and look at what this young woman's wearing. Wow, she's amazing because she's chvesish, walking around with shoes that have red bottoms. I don't know, whatever it does it for you, you know? So Lamaisa, no, they're very sick people out there. I'll tell you, my wife, I'm sure some of you don't even are not even holding in what I was just talking about, but there's a certain brand of shoes. What's it called? Louboutins, thank you. Louboutins, very, very expensive brand, Louboutins. And the chap, how you know that you're wearing these type of heels, is that the bottom of them are red. That's their thing, right? The bottom, you know, every brand has to have their symbol, their simon. This one, the bottom of them is red. Okay, so again, a pair of heels, like the cheaper ones, are $1,000 for a pair of heels. So now, my wife was once, a few years ago already, walked into a shoe, not a shoe store to buy shoes, like a place where a shoemaker, you know, like the shoemaker and candlestick maker, I don't know, you know, like, she went to, you know, where you bring your shoes to get shined, or the heel breaks, whatever. She went into one of these shoemakers, and a woman walks in, and she has this black pair of heels, and she asked the shoemaker, could you do me a favor, could you red the bottoms? Mama, she wanted him to paint the bottoms red. Mama, she machla, sick. So sad. So she was going buying the chvestish $50 heels or whatever it was. But she needed the bottoms to be red. The people should think she's wearing Louboutins. It's mamish, if you think about this person and where this person's focus is and what her life is about. Very, very sad. She's absorbed into the world of Gashmias. She's absorbed into that materialistic world and needs to fake out the world that she's wearing something she's not even wearing. That's what she's about. So she's destroying herself and destroying the world with it. The Ramchal continues, however, imhu shoylet ba'atmo. In the middle of Yud Aleph still, imhu shoylet ba'atmo. If you rule over yourself, meaning what? I rule over myself. I'm not about my physical self and my physical desires. I'm much bigger than that. I'm loftier than that. I have a meaningful, purposeful life. I'm not lost in that world. V'nidbak, and my purpose is, as we've been learning, v'nidbak beboro. I cling and connect to my Creator, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Eibishter. Umishtamesh min ha'olam, and how do I utilize the world? I use the world. I'm living in the world. However, umishtamesh min ha'olam rak lios lo l'siyu la'avod b'ro. You know how I use the world? In ways that it's going to help me serve God. I connect to the world, and I eat, and I have clothing, and I'm enjoying, but everything is somehow to connect to and help me serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm mekadesh the gashmis of the world. I elevate the gashmis world. Then what happens? Hu misaleh. I'm lifted up from that outlook, even in my, because I learn how to take everything of this world and serve Hashem through it. Va'olam atzvo misaleh imo. And the whole world is also elevated because I give purpose to whatever I'm doing. And I have a good purpose, and I'm letting that entity also fulfill its purpose of why it was created. Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's very important. You know, there are other religions, not our religion, other religions where their hierarchies and their lofty place to be is to practice abstinence. The highest level in some other religions is I'm going to abstain from the physical and not be involved in the physical. As we know, in certain religions, the hierarchies in the religions don't get married. Stay away from that physical pleasure of marriage. Stay away from eating, drinking, fast for 40 days straight. That's a lofty level. We don't believe in that. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy this world and wants us to utilize it. He created it all for us. He just wants us to elevate it and do it all b'kedusha v'tahara. And yeah, he wants us to eat and enjoy, but make a beautiful bracha beforehand to thank him and appreciate that he gave this to me, and make a beautiful bracha afterwards. And he wants us to eat like a mensch, slowly, and not be a chai. You know, you have a kiddush, and people like mamish. You know, it's Shabbos morning, and it's like 10:30 in the morning, and they're attacking like meat and chon like they've never seen it before in their life. It's mamish. That's not a bas tira. That's not a ben tira. That's not what the Rebbeinu Shel wants. That's not the way he wants us to eat. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy this world, but b'kedusha v'tahara, to elevate it. And that's not an end, it's only a means to eat and drink and enjoy so that I could serve him beautifully and learn how to serve him through it as well. Hazariah, what's one of the biggest proofs? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to have abstinence. Because at times, yes, meaning for moments in life, we just had 2 weeks ago, less than that, a week and a half ago, Tisha B'Av, there are days on the calendar for a few moments to help us rise spiritually, so we practice a little bit of abstinence at times, right? Just to help put us in the proper perspective. But globally, that's not who we're supposed to be. And what's one of the bigger rayas to that? We see by a nazir. We know a nazir is an individual who does practice some level of abstinence. He says, I'm not going to have any wine, I'm not going to have any grape juice, I'm not going to have any grapes. You know what happens at the end of his nazirus? When he stops being a nazir, he has to bring, what were you going to say? A carbon, exactly, excellent. A carbon chatas, a sin offering. Now ultimately, overall, he did something very beautiful. He tried to get closer to Hashem in these ways that he was doing. But he also did something wrong. Chazal teaches us, the Gemara teaches us, that he did something wrong. Because Hashem doesn't want us to abstain. How do you make kiddush on Friday night? What happened if he had a Suda's mitzvah to have a kois shel yayin? And to make a bracha and to enjoy. So there was a little chait within his beautiful act. There was something that was wrong a little bit. Hashem wants us to elevate this world in a beautiful way. I always tell my talmid and my talmidot, I believe in this line very strongly. Because a lot of times in life, people feel, one of the areas that I've gotten often, people feel that like Yiddishkeit is shackling. It's like they're restrictive. Very restrictive, and it doesn't allow us to do. Doesn't allow me to be who I want to be. Doesn't allow me to do what I want to do. I want to live my life. I don't want to live somebody else's life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to eat when I want to eat. I want to think how I want to think. I want to talk how I want to talk. And Yiddishkeit doesn't allow me to. And I think just the opposite. What Yiddishkeit does, what the Torah does, what the Rebbeinu Shel does for us, is just the opposite. Actually, if you really stop and think about it, everything is mutter. There's nothing that's usser. You're like, Rabbi, you lost it. What are you talking about? There's plenty that's usser. Now, everything's mutter as long as filtered through the Torah and done in the proper time, in the proper place, in the proper way. And what the Torah does is purify every act you'd want to do and bring meaning and purpose to it. So it's not just some physical act that gives you a momentary high, but it's meaningful pleasure. It's true simchas achayim. Anything you want to do, you could do it just in the right time, right place, in the right way. Al pi derech haTorah. And that's what the Rebbeinu Shel wants from us. He wants us to elevate all the gray areas of our life. Not just the black and white, also the gray. And learn how to be that. That should be done b'kedusha v'tahara as well. I always, you know, I don't know how many of you are holding those bands. They still play once in a while. But they were bigger back years ago. Counting Crows. I don't know if any of you are holding the County Crows, but they had one of their biggest songs, if not their biggest song, their biggest hit that was on the radio, whatever, was a song, Mr. Jones. And in that song, they have a line, and I always think about it when talking about this idea, they say, gray is my favorite color. Gray is my favorite color. And I thought, Mamish, that's the Rebbeinu Shel's favorite color. Gray is the Rebbeinu Shel's favorite color. Why? Black and white, if you look at the white is all we should be doing, is tahara is pure, that's awesome. And the black is what we shouldn't be doing. But that already, for those who are B'nai Torah, B'nai Torah, so it's clear, I'm not going to do this lav, I'm going to do this asay. But what truly makes us Vasisa Yashavatov, what truly shows I'm living B'Mesilas Yesharim, and I'm Dovik Hashem, it means even in all the gray areas of life, and all the Gashmias that I don't abstain from, I elevate that to Hashem as well. And that's so beautiful. And that's who the Rebbeinu Shem wants us to be. Let's read on a little more. We're still at the end of Yud Aleph. Ki hine iloi gadohu lebrias kulam. There's this great elevation to all creations. Biyosam mishamshe adam hasholem. Then when they're being utilized, they're being used by this complete person. Hamakudosh b'kdushaso yisbarach. That's holy with the holiness of Hashem. We elevate the entire world through our actions and using it in the proper way. That's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants from us. You know, there were two individuals that had the ability to be our avos, and only one of them did. There were midrashim that both of them had the ability. And only Yaakov came out on top. And we're all called B'nai Yisrael, we're the children of Yaakov specifically. But he had a brother, he had a twin Esav. And Esav also, Chazal say, had the ability to be one of the avos. In fact, until they were 13, you couldn't tell the difference between them. They were both similar in learning and everything else. It was only at the age of 13 that Esav started to veer off the course. And you know, we all know the famous discussion and disagreement between Rivka and Yitzchak. When Yitzchak wanted to give the brachos, and who did Yitzchak want to give the brachos to? And Parshas told us, what do we know, right? Yitzchak wanted to give the brachos to Esav. Which on the surface is very perplexing, very difficult to comprehend, right? And Rivka said, no, they have to go to Yaakov and set up Yaakov in seemingly a deceitful way to get the brachos. Many explain what was the real discussion and argument between Yitzchak and Rivka. Because Yitzchak was a tzaddik yizor olam. He had it so off that he wanted to give Esav brachos. Yes, we know Esav was good to him and he had a special connection to him, but he's telling me Yitzchak didn't get his children and know that Yaakov was mamish b'kedusha of Tahara and the one that's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So every parent, many explain in the following way, every parent, and maybe some of you have learned this before, every parent obviously wants all their children to be successful and loves all their children equally. And yeah, and Yitzchak of course got it and saw the direction of Esav and saw the direction of Yaakov and knew Yaakov was Kodesh Kedoshim, was Ishtam Yoshev Olam sitting and learning in B'Kedushat Ha'ara, and knew that Esav was involved in physicality and hunting and other things. If you look at the brachos were primarily in B'Gashvias, in the physical realm, in the materialistic realm. And what Yitzchak thought was, who should get those brachos so that he'll then elevate his life, at least even if he's involved in the physical world, to elevate that in a holy manner. Let's do that for Esav. Yaakov doesn't need these anyways. Yaakov's just going to be sitting and learning all day. He's not involved in Gashmis at all. He's not involved in any gray areas. And therefore, I can have the best of both worlds. Yaakov will be the leader in Torah. Esav will be the leader in the physical world in a more holy manner, because now he has the brachos, and all will be good. Sounds nice. But Rivka was correct, we know, right? Because Rivka understood, no. As a member of Klal Yisrael, we don't just need to be that our Torah and our tefillah should be holy. We need that every aspect of our life should be holy. Even when we're in the gray areas of life. Even when I'm away from the Siddur, away from the Chumash, away from a Shir like we have the Schus to learn now. I'm always a Bas Torah. And I need those brachas to elevate every aspect of my life. And that's Yaakov. Yaakov's name is made up of Yud Akev. Yud Akev. The Yud represents Shem Hashem. Yud Kevavke. The Yud is number 10. Ein Davar B'Kedusha Pachos Me'asar. You can't have something holy less than 10. We need 10 people to make up a minion. Akev, this week's parsha, Akev means the heel, the lowest place. Yud Akev means Yaakov understands I have to bring Hashem even into the lowest of places. Yaakov understands that wherever I am, I need to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring Hashem even to the lowest, even where there's Akev. In fact, Akev are the Osios, if mixed up, the Rosh Tevos, Kadesh Atmecha B'Mutter. Kadesh Atmecha, make yourself holy, B'Mutter, in even the things that are Mutter to you, meaning even the areas that I'm just doing throughout the day that are not a mitzvah, not an avera, just mutter. I have to elevate every aspect of my life, and that's what the Mesil Sharma is saying now. And that's Vasisa Yashvat Tov. Yaakov is, I bring my Yud, I bring the Kedusha of Hashem into the, even the lowest places of my life. In fact, when you have the opportunity, it's Kedai to learn through and read through. We're not going to, for the sake of time, go through it now. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Reish Lamed Aleph, Simen is like a Musar Sefer. Shulchan Aruch is a Halachic Sefer, right? This is like Musar, where the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Cairo, the Beis Yosef, he explains, Kol Kavonos of Yishem Shemayim. All our Kavonos should be for Shem Shemayim. What does he say? He goes through teaching us that everything that we do should be for Hashem. And he gives examples. Our Achila, our eating. Our Shtia, our drinking. Halicha, when we walk. Hayeshiva, just when we're sitting around, hanging out. Hakima, when we're standing around. Sicha, when we're speaking. All of that should be B'Kedusha of Tara. Not just when I'm learning and doing mitzvahs. I forget where I saw this originally. Many Svarim bring down. In all of those words, all the words I just said, which are all the physical acts of a person, Achila, Shtia, Halicha, Yeshiva, Sicha, Kima, every single one of them has a Yud Hei in it. Has a Yud Hei in it, which is one of the names of Hashem, right? Ka. Every one of them has Hashem in it. It's to teach us that Hashem should be there as well. We're never disconnected from Hashem. That's a life of Yashrus. I'm always with Hashem. Every single moment. I'm living with Hashem. I'm walking with Hashem. I'm sleeping with Hashem. You know, I think that was a little bit the lesson. When we left Mitzrayim, so what was like the big mitzvah that Hashem gave us to do when we're still in Mitzrayim to Mekadish us? Karban Pesach, right? Karban Pesach. We took the Karban Pesach into our homes on the 10th day of Nisan. 4 days before we were going to shecht it. And you know what we did with that Karban Pesach for those 4 days? Does anyone know where it was? Excellent, right? We tied it lekare hamita, to the legs of the bed. You know, it's important. One day when you have children, b'shatav zlachas, in the right time, when you have Pesach, halavai will be zeichet, Mashiach by that point, already by next year, but when you have Pesach, specifically in all Yom Tov, in all mitzvahs, we try to bring it alive and exciting. So we try at our Seder, we do a lot of things to make it very special and exciting and fun and enjoyable. You could ask Neshama, she'll tell you. I'm not going to go through all the examples now, but we really reenact a lot and really make it very special. And one of the things I've been doing for years, on the 10th of Nisan, when I come home from yeshiva, and all the kids are home already, I bought years ago this like big stuffed lamb. Mamish, it's like it's pretty big, like this big stuffed animal, but little, like you know, like Mary had a little lamb, right? Like this, like lamb. And I'll come home and I'll walk in with the lamb, because on the 10th of Nisan, when you bring home the lamb, and we'll go upstairs and I'll tie it to the legs of my bed, and it'll be there till Pesach, and then we have it sit at the Seder with us and talk about it a little bit before Pesach. But it was tied to the bed. So the question. Tied to the bed? Imagine, it's probably crazy. Again, it was my lamb I bring home is a stuffed animal, not a big deal. This was a live lamb that for those 4 days it was literally tied to their bed. What was the message in that? I believe, and I think this was the message. This was their first, as far as B'nai Yisrael becoming a nation, which is what Pesach is all about. And in a certain sense, their first mitzvah was this Karban Pesach, which they're both Moser Nefesh for Hashem, sacrificing the God of the Egyptians to show how much we believe in Hashem. Hashem says, take it and tie it to your bed. Our bed is like the most mundane area of our life, the most physical place of our life. Our bed is where we sleep. Like, I'm completely turned off. I'm not doing anything spiritual, you would think. Hashem says, even there I want to be. I want you to take me everywhere. I want to be in your life, everywhere where you are, even in what you perceive as the lowest of places. That's a yashar life. That's a straight life. That's Mesil Sharmdika life. That's Vasisa Yashar V'atov. That's what it is to live such a life. Not abstinent. I'm involved. I'm enjoying the world, but I'm elevating it all to Hashem. B'kedusha v'tara. Let's just read through. V'uk'inyan. We're up to over here. Just a few more minutes. Yud Beis. V'uk'inyan masha amru chachameinu zechron levracha. Binyan Ohor Shignazu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zikim. This idea, as Chazal teach us, as we see, there was this light that was in the world, not a physical light, it was a spiritual light that was created and was in the world just for 36 hours. Rashi brings it down in Bereishis, it's a Chazal, that Hashem then had to hide away for the tzaddikim, because it was too intense spiritually, and not everybody was ready for it. And when something's too light, and I imagine, you know, like, you try to stare at the sun. Don't do it. After a few moments, you have to look away when it's strong. It's too much to handle. So too was the ruchnias. It was too much to handle once you were a big tzaddik and tzaddikim. And Hashem had to take it away until Olam Haba, until the time of Mashiach. But he's telling us that light was for the tzaddikim, which is a symbolism that this world, that's what's created in this world, is for us to utilize. That wasn't, not everyone was ready for. And there was a simcha in that, a simcha that everything is for us. And we see this as well, maybe we'll be able to relate a little bit more. The stones of that makom, we know the stones, this was the stones of Har Habayis. When Yaakov went up and he had the dream, right? He went to Har Habayis and he had the dream with the sulam, with the ladder. There was mutzav arts of Arosha B'Shemayimah, which in itself, by the ladder, represents this idea. That it's the ladder is in this, on the ground, the Arosha B'Shemayim, but my head should always be in heaven, even if I'm in worldly ideas, right? But at that moment, what do we know very famously of the rocks, the Avnei Hamakom, the rocks? Shilokach Yaakov V'Sam Me'Rashosav. Yaakov took the rocks and put them around his head to protect him from the animals when he went to sleep that night. Amru, they say, Amru Yisrael, very famously, you all know it. Melamed shen niskabsu kulam l'makom echad, they all gathered together to one place. V'ayisa kol achas omeres, because each one said, Alay yaniach tzaddik v'rosho. Everyone wanted that the tzaddik should be on them, because they wanted to be elevated by the tzaddik. The existence of anything in this world is for us to be elevated by us, to be utilized by us. V'ne'al ikra hazeh, this idea, ha'arina z'chorin l'vracha, b'medrash koheles, we also see this idea emphasized in the medrash of koheles, sh'amru zeh l'shonam, which says this, re'ei es ma'is elokim, the pasuk says in koheles, see the creations of Hashem. Let's just finish out this paragraph, b'shah, sh'bara ha'kodesh baruch hu, es adam arishon, when ha'kodesh baruch hu created adam arishon, Natalo ve'achziro akol ilane Gan Eden. He took Adam Arishon and showed him every tree in Gan Eden. Ve'amrlo, and he said to him, Re'ei Masai, look at my creations. Kamenomu shebachem heim. Look how wonderful and beautiful and praiseworthy my creations are. V'chol ma shebarasi, everything that I've created, bishvilcha barasi, I created it for you. Tain datcha, you should think this through well. Shalos lekalkel v'tachrav hizol olami, so you shouldn't ruin and destroy my world. And he utilized it in the proper way. So it's mamish, the first man in this world, and of the first conversations in this world was this yisod, was go enjoy this world that Hashem created, but in a pikdusha v'tara, in the proper way. And that's what it means to live a life of Mesil Sharm, a life of Dveikus, a life of purpose, a life of meaning. It's not just in the Torah mitzvos. It's in everything that we do. I elevate it all, B'Kedush Tara, and live a life of Yashrus, of Asisa, Ayasha, of Batov. We will, Mirtz Hashem, continue next week. I wish you have an awesome, beautiful night.